Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Just in, we have a new guest, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score football pregame and postgame show co-host.
Those were great days in our locker rooms. If guys got paid, you know, if they got their contract or coming back down or the next morning you walk in that locker room, a lot of hugs, high fives and all that kind of stuff. That goes a long way.
Master in the art of the long snap.
Do you have any kids?
I do.
Check out longsnapper.com. Have him start early to learn how to long snap.
He even has a signature beer.
Long Snapper IPA. The can, the artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so the artwork's great. The beer's great.
Patrick Manelli.
That was a good snap.
With Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
How long does it take to grow the mullet?
The gourmet mullet?
Why is it gourmet?
Because it's awesome.
Welcome back to Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. Today's show brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve, and by Phillips Chevrolet. Patrick Manelli joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. You can always listen to Patrick Manelli during pregame. So before Chicago takes on Indy, tune in Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon for your local Ford dealers postgame show. Pre-game show, I should say. That would make more sense right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. It's Mully, it's Olin Krutz, and it's our next guest, Pat Manelli, who you can find on Twitter at Patrick Manelli. Hello, sir.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're good. We're trying to sort through some of these offensive line issues. I don't know if you heard Bill Belichick yesterday, but he just laid waste to them. He just said, yeah, well, they're not spending resources on the line, and other teams have better players, and they can't handle single blocks, let alone blitzes. Okay, great.
All right, we're done with the interview.
Right. Yeah.
We're done. No, it's just bad, too, guys. You mean you got Nate Davis getting penalties, Darnell Wright getting penalties, and obviously you can't go against what Bill Belichick says most of the time, and he's right. It's ugly. It's all the way across the board, and what's concerning to me, it's not just one guy. You know what I mean? It's not just Nate Davis. It's everybody. It's Coleman Shelton. It's Darnell Wright. Tevin Jenkins is getting beat. Braxton Jones got beat. You saw that. It's all the way across the board. So to me, the fix is almost impossible. You know, sometimes you can say, all right, we can figure out one guy and scheme with him. If the right guard is hurting, you can slide the line a little bit to him. You can give some chip help with the running back. But right now, it's just everybody, and it's I don't know what they're going to do. Is it too late to maybe shuffle guys around? You know, if everybody's been talking about, you know, Olin, what he said last year of putting Tevin Jenkins at right guard and keeping him with Darnell Wright. But is it too late to do that? Do you put Matt Pryor at left guard? Because those guys you want to work together with, and that's the hard thing, the communication, the steps. But to me, it looks so bad on Sunday night that you really have to have a conversation about it. And if they did it, I'd be okay with it because I don't think it can get any worse.
Now, see, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because there has been that talk about shifting guys around, right? You know, you take the ingredients and you mix them up differently and hopefully it tastes better. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the case, though, because part of it for me is the fear of the reset. You're kind of going back to block A, and in block A, you don't know how much of regression there will be with guys now doing new things in new spots. Is it not better just to forge ahead, try to clean things up against an opponent that you think is the weakest that you've seen against the run as far as getting pressure also on the quarterback?
Yeah, I think my guess is I think the coach would be kind of scared to do that. You know what I mean? Like I was just explaining, it's difficult to do in the middle of the season. I think maybe this week if they struggle against this defense, they have some good players, but hopefully DeForest Buckner doesn't play. You know, he got injured, but they've been giving up a lot of yards in the run game. Maybe they get it right. Maybe they get, you know, because it is a little bit of a weaker front. Maybe they can have a better game and trying to figure it out. And it is reps, guys, too. They don't wear pads anymore. You know, they're not working together. There's a lot of times, if you watch the film last week and even the first week, like, Dan, I think I've heard you talk about it, they're not picking up stunts. They're not picking up twists. And that's pad work. You know what I mean? That's repping live reps of working with your guy, keeping your shoulders square. All these loops and stuff you see, they're getting beat up field. They're turning their shoulders. Next thing you know, the guy's coming free, coming up the middle. And it's more work that needs to be done. And I'm sure that conversation is going on with the staff that's saying, hey, we'll get more reps. They'll get better in time. But right now, it just does not look good.
We played a comment from Tevin Jenkins where he sort of very matter-of-factly said, we get the call, we try to execute what we're coached to do.
Yeah.
And he used that word, which is, you know, to already hear that is interesting. His tone was interesting. But when he says get the call, he's talking about the protection call.
Yes.
So we know that when Coleman Shelton was signed, his strength was apparently recognizing, communicating, making that call. When we're watching a game and we hear all sorts of noise and we see everybody pointing, we know what the mic point is. That sets the protection based on who they believe the middle linebacker is and who's playing what roles. But other than that, take us through sort of granularly after the huddle breaks as you're walking up to the line. Who makes that call? Is there a communication between quarterback and center? What do you see? What do you see? Do they have to agree on the interpretation of what they see? And then how is it communicated, especially on the road?
Right. No, for us, it was Olin. He was in charge of all it. Some teams, the quarterback is in charge of it. You know, Olin's talked about with Drew Brees, where he helped make all the protection calls and made Olin's life easier. But for us, O-linemen, you wanted to hear it come from your center, and that just sets everything. So if you have like a slide left protection where you call out the Mike linebacker, that say the running back has that Mike linebacker, we have the four down, and maybe the Will linebacker to the left. So that makes it easy, and that's the way it just should work. But what's funny is I'll give you a story going back to like a rookie quarterback, Kyle Lorton. There was a game where down in the north end zone, and Olin makes the call, and Kyle, a rookie, changes the call. Olin turns around and slaps Kyle's hand out of the air while he's pointing to a different guy. And he's like, no, blank, blank, we're going to this guy. So, you know, for a rookie quarterback, I think there's so much on his plate. He needs to be Coleman Shelton right now to make all those calls. But it goes to him. You're going off of what he's saying. And he can be wrong sometimes, but you can still be right because you're all going to proper people. And then the quarterback knows who the free runner is, if that makes sense. So it goes back to the center, and it should right now for the rookie quarterback. And you're just hoping he's making the right call. There was one play last Sunday night where a guy came running scot-free. I don't know whose fault that was. Was that the wrong call by the center? Was the quarterback not picking up the hot read? That stuff we don't know. They'll be talking about it internally. But to me, it goes back to the center, and you listen to whatever he says. You go off of that, and you can always be correct as long as the quarterback understands who the hot guy is and who could be running free.
What's great about this is I'm watching the Monday Night Football game last night. So they have Jason Kelce, obviously future Hall of Famer center, in the booth describing what's going on with him and teaching Cam Jurgens, the rest of the line, mm-hmm. also the quarterback. And obviously when Jason Kelce was the center for the Eagles, he was in charge, kind of what you're describing yes. with Olin Krutz. And now he's saying, I think Jalen Hurts now is ready to be the guy who's doing that. How long do you think it would take a guy like Caleb Williams to get comfortable doing that? That doesn't sound like something that would happen in year one and maybe not even in year two, but I guess it all depends on how good your center is, right?
That's a great question too, because you know we had Kurt Warner on yesterday when I was working with Spiegel, and he was talking about not only did he want to know coverages as well as anybody, he wanted to know protection. So it's up to the quarterback to take that under, you know, if he wants to do it. And right now I think Caleb needs to worry about the season. Maybe during the off season, that's something he really works on and adds to his repertoire to be able to know. So it depends on how quickly he can learn it. You know, I think maybe year two he could start doing that. But I think three and four for sure. I just know as an O lineman, it took me a while when I got in the pros sitting in the O line room to really understand protections as well. So I don't know. It just depends how quickly he can pick that up and understand it. Some people can see it better than others. Some people can teach this other people better. So hopefully he has a good teacher in there to learn from. But I would say maybe next year to for sure the third year, I would hope he'd be able to pick it up.
We started the show talking about something that Dan Wiederer noted both with us yesterday and in the piece he wrote for the Tribune today. We should mention Dan is going to be in with Matt Spiegel today. So you're getting a lot of real strong Bears content today as always. And he's focusing on just how the Bears players themselves, as he put it, seemed like they were looking for a coping mechanism. When after two games, both Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift are saying there's a lot of football left, that he found it notable that they may have been jarred a little bit. What is it like then? Does it seem that way to you that they thought they were better than this and they're not?
Oh, they talked about it, right? They talked about all the weapons we had. They were talking about it. Obviously, we were as well with all what they acquired. And you go into a season like this and your expectations and goals are pretty darn high and you have one touchdown, right? And this was supposed to be the new Bears era of scoring touchdowns and scoring points and winning games offensively. And yeah, I think it's a huge letdown. But what I loved about Cole, Dan, and you've heard it a lot from guys, right? When this is going on, they're like, oh, we're close. We're close. We're one play. He didn't say that. He kind of called everybody out and said, we got to get better at O-line, you know, everything. And when I heard him say that, that meant he is extremely frustrated. He could be extremely frustrated with Waldron. He could be extremely frustrated with his teammates. But it's got to be everybody he's upset with because, you know, to hear a guy say, to not say we're close, that was interesting to me because I think you hear that from everybody. When you were on the beat doing all that, you would hear guys go, oh, we're close. You knew they weren't close, but, you know, I think he knows everybody's frustrated.
The frustration seems to be a thing where we know that they should be frustrated, and some people are kind of surprised that it's as frustrating as it is because at the end of the day, they're 1-1. They've got a not great Indianapolis Colts team. I've been a big proponent, Patrick, of how this schedule lines up. Because mm-hmm. I like the fact that the division games are on the back half. I liked that they were starting with weaker teams, but get a good test in week two to really have a barometer and know where you're at. Like if they had played, let's say, the Colts last week and run a little bit on them or a lot and then played the Texans after that, I think we'd still be talking about the same fundamental problems. Mm-hmm. Let's find out what the problems are as quickly as possible. I know you're saying you don't necessarily know that they can correct the problems that need to be corrected for the offense, but what can they do right now, today, tomorrow, when they get back on the practice field, what's the number one thing you would have them do?
In the run game, I would say run downhill. And what I mean by that is put Mercedes Lewis in. I'm almost finished with the All-22, and three of their best runs are positive runs. Mercedes Lewis is in the game, and they're getting double teams up front with Darnell Wright. You know, they need to get back to me, that power game with those guys up front, kind of coming off the ball. There were a few runs to the left where Braxton Jones is going against Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. He's getting blown up. Swift has got to cut it up, and you've got no yardage. So I think you've got to just kind of simplify the run game for those guys and figure out what their strengths are. And I think it's that. I think it's just coming downhill more. And then for the passing game, you know, obviously I'm not an expert in that, but I could tell you more about O-line. But it just seems that, you know, one is protection to get him comfortable. So when you get the four down rushers on him, he's very, very comfortable. They've got to get better at blitz pickup. They've got to get better blitz recognition. They've got to get better at technique up front. That's the biggest thing for me for O-line wise. But the run game will help this team, will help Caleb get him, keep him in, you know, third and short, second and manageable. That to me is the biggest thing, is just come downhill in the run game. And that to me is the strength of these guys. Tevin Jenkins likes to do that. Darnell Wright's very good at double teams. So anybody he's got next to him, they're going to move a lot of people off the ball.
So that would be gap runs rather than typical inside zone or outside zone runs. If you're talking about.
No, you can still do the inside zone. You just keep it tighter, right? The ones that they had earlier, the two up the middle, he had a 6-yard run, I think a 4-yard run. They aren't huge, but they're moving guys off the ball. It's just a tighter zone. So your steps are a little tighter than try to run that wide zone and trying to get that full outside shoulder. So you can use Mercedes Lewis to kind of set the edge, and he can maybe single block and or double team with Darnell Wright. So you're just kind of running in between the tackles more. So it's just kind of a tighter zone, and you can use the gap scheme as well, Dan. So you can do both, but I think just getting those double teams as much as you can with those big guys up front, that will help the run game.
You mentioned Lewis. Personnel, speaking of personnel, is now the right time then to unveil Roschon Johnson, who we know what work he's been able to do in between the tackles?
No, I think Swift can do it. I really do. I think he just needs to get more carries. I think he's a very versatile back. Everybody talks about he's an outside zone runner. I think he can, obviously he's very good at that, but I still think he can run between the tackles. Like I said, those three positive runs with Mercedes in the game, he's very good at it. So I would stick with that and then just run the ball more with that scheme and give it to Khalil Herbert. He's very good inside as well. You saw it on his touchdown run. He's a good running back as well.
I don't think you need a good running back to have a good running game. I really don't.
O-line.
I think it's proven, but
you're seeing right now, though, that the NFL, like Josh Jacobs up in Green Bay, they blocked him up pretty well, but he's important. Joe Mixon was important the first week for the Texans. Saquon Barkley is, important now for the Eagles. So I think a good running back helps, but it's all O-line. It's all O-line and what fits those guys scheme-wise.
Last question, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
We hear Matt Eberflus talk a lot about, and he's sort of played these cards multiple times now. When he was talking about C.J. Stroud, he said he's been coached very well to work from the pocket. And then when talking about Caleb's interceptions after the game, he said when he leaves the pocket, he needs to protect the football. We're used to Justin Fields doing that little reverse backspin out of the pocket and running for like 80 yards down the field. Caleb's not that guy.
No.
He doesn't want to be that guy. He can scramble. He is athletic, but he is always looking to throw. When should I get concerned that they're coaching the magic out of him? Why couldn't they say, well, when he leaves the pocket, man, go crazy, kid. Light him up. Do what you got to do. Like you say, they've got one touchdown. Do you really want him to be putting the bumpers up in the bowling alley right now?
No, I think they're trying to, from scratch coach him to learn to play from the pocket. And there are going to be times that I think that's his skill. That's his magic, is getting out of the pocket. So I hope they don't coach that out of him. You know, the two interceptions he had, the one to DJ Moore, I'm okay with because it's a 50-50 ball. It could have been thrown better. But then the one in the triple coverage, that's the one where you're like, what are you doing, kid? We can't do that. So I would be concerned when you start seeing throws like that where he's throwing in a double and triple coverage. But I love the fact when he gets out of the pocket, he's like, all right, DJ, I trust you. I'm going to throw it up to you. It could have been a better throw. You know, he's off platform a little bit and got hit. But I hope they don't coach it out of him, Dan. That to me is what's made him special his entire life. And I think that's what can make him great in this league. So I do think they need to coach him to play from the pocket. Like early in the game when they were just rushing four guys, he was very comfortable getting the ball out. That was great to see. That was improvement from week one to week two. But then again, you can't take out the special Caleb Williams. You just can't do that.
Patrick Manley, great stuff as always. We will be listening to you on the pregame and the postgame show. You and the crew, instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. All of it can be heard on the Score and the Odyssey app. Thanks as always, man.
All right, we'll see you guys.
That is Patrick Manley. And next up, we are going to talk to Cubs left fielder Ian Happ, Dan Bernstein, and Marshall Harris on the Bernstein and Holmes Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Drilled in the air. It's got a chance. Get out the tape measure for Ian Happ. All the way on to Waveland Avenue.
Absolutely crushed that ball.
What I love about Ian is very dedicated and serious about his craft.
Gold Glove Award winner.
And Happ makes a great catch up against the left field fence. And that robs a home run.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
There's a lot of those, especially with the sun and the wind and the clouds at Wrigley. It's hard in April and it gets hard again in September with kind of the sun sits a little bit lower in the sky. So you know, there was a couple sun balls in that series.
You got two gold gloves for a reason. I mean, you're catching it.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has five fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
Let's talk some baseball with Ian Happ of your Chicago Cubs. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. The two-time Gold Glove winner, indeed, and host of the Compound Podcast and current war leader of the Chicago Cubs, according to FanGraphs, is on Twitter at IHAP_1. Ian, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Really good. You know what I did? I looked up the Japanese word for horse. Because Shota Imanaga is at 166 in a third innings pitched this year, which in the modern MLB is pretty phenomenal. The word for horse in Japanese is Uma, just pronounced just like Uma Thurman. And it must say something about this young man, not so young, but about this man, that he's been able to have this kind of season, being this available, this reliable, and still this effective.
Yeah, he's been great, and he's going to get close to 180 innings this year. Obviously, the performance last night was fantastic, but you know we've had a little bit of the injury bug with the starting pitchers, and you know some guys have been really consistent, really good for us, but he's been kind of the leader all the way, and just been phenomenal. I think if you take out maybe one or two, you know, he's had maybe two bad starts, and the consistency of what he's been able to do has been super impressive, and there's a reason why he's, 14-3 now? There's a reason why we have a chance to win every time he goes out there.
Are you surprised at just how effective he's been in terms of adjusting from, you know, Japan to here? And I know he's an older rookie, if we're using that word to describe his first season in the major leagues, but just how effective he's been, not just now, but from start to finish.
Yeah, I think when you look at just how excited people were for Yamamoto to come over, Shota was a little bit overshadowed in the conversation last offseason. And so for him to be as good as he's been and as consistent as available, I think the hardest part is the adjustment to the schedule. You know, in Japan, you throw once a week. As a starting pitcher, so they have a six man, they have one day a week off. And so to come over to do what he's done and throw on 5 days, 4 days rest every fifth day, there's been a couple of times when they pushed him back to make sure he gets six, or when we're working around off days to make sure that he gets the full 5 days in between. But, he's been out there, he's been available, he's gone deep into games, and it's been really impressive.
The other major story has been the vector for Pete Crow Armstrong's career. I don't know if you saw the piece on FanGraphs that Michael Bauman wrote, looking at this second half that PCA is having and saying if this sustains, if he's even an average hitter, let alone an above average hitter with elite speed, defense, base running, like 99 percentile on that stuff, as far as value goes, he could be touching like peak Lorenzo Cain. Like there's potential, and maybe you saw it, but he could be a six-win player if he does this stuff like he's doing it right now.
Yeah, for sure. He's got all the tools to do it, right? His defense and base running, the value that he's going to provide there from the WAR system is going to be, it's always going to be fantastic, and so you get a full season of him in center field and him, running the bases and stealing bags. That's going to be huge. And then what he's been able to do offensively the last couple months has obviously been a huge boost for us and a huge lift. And it's so easy for a young player like that to, there's a huge adjustment to the league. It's as hard as it's ever been to hit. It's so different from what you're seeing in Triple-A, and I think you've seen kind of as he's continued to make adjustments and continue to develop just what the tool set looks like and the ability, and so it's been fun to watch. It's been awesome to to see it come together. Double digits homers is an important, you know, thing. That's awesome. And I think you continue to see the development day in and day out. And excited for him to finish strong and then see what it looks like moving forward.
When a player breaks through like that at the major league level, whether it's PCA, whether it's yourself, anybody, as you observe that, what kind of different approaches do you have in terms of maybe your comfortability? Not that you ever get all that comfortable, but when you can do it for a sustained stretch, what can that do for someone's confidence?
Joe Maddon had this great this great thing that he told us one spring training, and it was the five levels of players in the big leagues. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard this before, but, you know, I'm happy to be here is the first one. And then, you know, you're trying to get to a place where you say, I belong. And I think the second one was, I'm just trying to stay. And then you finally get to a place where it's, I belong. And so I think that's kind of, as a young player, you're trying to get there. You know, when you're happy to be here, it's one thing. And then the fight to stay in it is another. But when you really feel like you belong and you're a major league player, you know, that's another level of confidence where you come to the ballpark every day, you're in the lineup, you're getting run out there, you're playing against righties, you're playing against lefties, and you feel like you're an established big league player. And so for guys to get to that point, and I think Pete's kind of making that turn to, you know, I belong here, I'm a big leaguer, and it gives you a sense of, you know, I don't have to fight to stay up here or stay in it. I am a part of this team and a part of what winning looks like. And so that's just a huge, you know, mental hurdle to get over in this league.
What are the fourth and the fifth levels then? Because I just want to keep going. Yeah,
happy to be here. I'm just trying to stay. And then we need two before I belong.
No, I belong is three. Four is I just want to get paid. So the guys that are heading into free agency, you know, and haven't had that big bite at the apple yet, I just want to get paid. And then, the fifth level is I just want to win. So guys that have been paid, they're, everything's taken care of. And now I just want to win. And it was a pretty unbelievable, list from Joe of actually the stages of a baseball career.
So you're clearly in stage five.
Yeah, we got a few guys in stage five now. And he talked about, you know, stage one, three, and five are good, and stage two and four are kind of the ones that, you know, you don't want to spend too much time in those windows or have too many of those guys on your roster. So it was interesting just kind of the way he broke it down. And that, you know, some of those teams that we had, and especially, you know, you look at that, the kind of the team in 17 that I was on, but the team in 16 as well, you know, you had a bunch of guys in kind of the one, three, and five. You know, you had the veteran guys who were in five, the Lesters and the Lackeys, and then you had a bunch of young players who were happy to be there, and some guys like, you know, Rizzo, and that were in the, you know, kind of the between the three and the five. So it's interesting just when you look at guys throughout their careers and what kind of stages everybody's in.
I actually had not heard that before.
Yeah, I hadn't heard it either. I'm so glad you shared that with us.
That's really good. And, you know, we could say some of the stuff about Michael Busch, too, who was, you know, he was roadblocked as a triple-A guy in an organization full of resources. And the guy's NL Player of the Week, and pretty amazing performance. Some of the balls he hit were just moonshots.
Yeah, and you go through a full big league season, right? And he had the stretch at the beginning where he had a homer in like five or six straight games, and he's really hit lefties well all year. And then the little bit of period where it was maybe a tough stretch in August, and that is what putting together a full season looks like. You know, it's not where you're at on June 1st, it's not where you're at on August 15th, it's kind of the full picture that you put together. And so that, you know, his week last week going back to Dodger Stadium was obviously getting hitting some of those balls was awesome to see. And then he really hits the balls hard to Colorado. And he hit two balls last night. He hit one in the air pull side. The wind was kind of blowing in that didn't go. And then he hit a ball 107 at like 38 yesterday. That's definitely a homer in Colorado, but wasn't a homer last night. So he's had a lot of really good swings. He's handled the bat well. He's walked. I've said this to you guys before, but the defense at first base, the work that he's put in over there, he's right now, as far as defensive run saves, yeah, I think he's top three in baseball, or at least in the NL defensively. And so, you know, all of those things together have been super impressive.
When you look at where you guys are now at the standings, I don't know how much you pay attention on a day-to-day basis, but I guess this would be the time you would pay attention on a day-to-day basis here in the back half of September. What are your thoughts on the way, I guess, the race is kind of shaken out and chasing two teams in the Mets and the Braves that are ahead of you by a good margin, and you're just kind of running out of time right now?
Yeah, we definitely need a little bit of help. We need some things to go our way with what other teams are doing right now. But it's a situation where you have to play your game. You have to go out there like we did last night and play good, clean baseball and see how things shake out. And that's, you know, it's cliche, but it is really as true as ever, is that you have to take it one day at a time, one series at a time, and you have to just play your game. You know, we're unfortunately in a position where we don't exactly control our destiny, and so we have to hope that some things come back to us. But the only thing that we can't control is how we go out and play on a daily basis.
All right, Ian, a couple of years ago, I believe you called yourself something to the effect of a pretend Bears fan. I wonder, have you now reached the level of actual Bears fan, or have the loyalties been pulled in different directions?
No, that's the Bears are my number one team. You know, we were on the plane on the way back from Colorado watching the game on Sunday. A lot of Bears fans in that plane and watching the quarterback run around a little bit. It was definitely not as thrilling as the week one. We were actually playing during week one, and I was getting updates from Bleacher Jeff in left field, and those are fun games at Wrigley in September when you have the fans in left field that are watching baseball but also paying attention to their phones and making sure that they're updated on the Bears score.
Do you have a fantasy league this year going to the clubhouse?
There's a fantasy league going. Yeah, tough start for my team, but we'll right the ship.
It's so funny when I hear athletes playing fantasy sports. Is it weird at all, or was it ever weird for you, or just because you probably played well before you were major leaguers, is this kind of normal? Because like, you obviously know how fans can be a little fanatic when it comes to players playing fantasy anything. How is that correlation for you personally, knowing that you're probably on people's fantasy teams, but at the same time you take part in the same thing but for a different sport?
Yeah, I don't ever blame the players. You know, it's on the ownership of the team making bad decisions. It's never the players' fault in my fantasy league.
I love that.
Is Shota a football fan?
I don't think super into football. I don't think Shota or Saya are way into football. I'm not seeing them yelling at the TV in the clubhouse.
It just because Shota wore a Walter Payton jersey the other day, there was a picture of that. I mean, I know he's stylish and he puts a lot of thought into what he wears. I just didn't know how much he knew what that represented here in Chicago.
Yeah, I didn't talk to him about it. I'm not sure, but he's got the walkout going. He's the Blackhawks, and he's definitely embraced the city, which is awesome.
So, lastly, Justin Steele is going to join us here in a little bit, and we've got an hour to hang out, just like we did with you the last time we were here at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. What are some topics of conversation that'll get him going? I'm told he's a big football fan, and I know he and I can talk some fishing. What else?
Yeah, you want to talk fishing with him. He loves getting out there in the water. He loves a little deep sea in the Gulf in the off season. You want to talk football, you can do an hour on the whole league. Talk about the whole league, talk about fantasy, talk about the players he likes right now. He loves it. He is as invested as anybody. So you get going fishing and football. You don't even have to touch baseball. Just fishing and football, you'll be good.
Outstanding. What do we need to know about what's coming up in your Connect Roasters and charitable empire?
We're actually going to do the last meet and greet of the year. We're going to do Thursday, 1 p.m. Right across the street at Steingold's in the Zachary Hotel on Thursday. And we're going to get 30 tickets, I believe, to do a little last of the year. So we're excited about that. We actually just got the cold brew down in the clubhouse. So we got a keg that's going in. I just got the tap I brought in. So I'm going to keep the boys energized for the final stretch here.
right, somebody could have brought some over today. That's all I'm saying. You know, we're right here. But
have somebody run upstairs to the front office and bring guys down some cold brew.
Are you kidding? To get to the front office?
That's so much security.
Oh, you have to like do your retinal scan, yeah. And I think an anal probe they got to do. You're not allowed anywhere near those people.
No, that's a secure building, but we can have somebody run up there and bring something down for you. Figure that out.
Good. Well, we'll hold you to that. Ian Happ, thanks as always, man. We'll talk next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
That is Ian Happ. Next up, we have High Noon, and I can't believe it, but a 12-year saga on the North Shore of this city looks like it's finally coming to an end.
And, you know, you're talking about a 12-year saga. I've got someone under the age of 12 who we all make an occasional run to the store.
Yes.
Well, this person decided to make a run to Target, but it was not a run that she made, and I'll explain that.
All right. This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. That is High Noon. It is coming up next on The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
It is time for High Noon. So, you say, what have you been doing throughout the show leading up to this point? Well, it's been very, very busy. We started out by talking about how if we take our cue from the way the Bears themselves are responding to their ongoing offensive problems after the loss, it paints sort of a more dire picture than we might otherwise think about a 1-1 team, because they seem kind of stunned themselves. We played what Bill Belichick said yesterday, where he pretty much carpet bombed the Bears' offensive line performance and overall plan. Tevin Jenkins said, we do what we're coached to do. We heard from Daniel Jeremiah talking about body language, had some thoughts for DJ Moore, thought DJ Moore might have shown up his rookie quarterback by whipping off his helmet and muttering to himself on the sidelines. DJ Moore said he was mad at himself, he told Mully and Haw. Patrick Manley talked about all these things, and then we had some fun with Ian Happ.
I'll be back this way on Monday.
Yep, we heard you say that before already.
It's High Noon.
I love a little High Noon. Been a fan of High Noon for years now, and, you know, just so happy to get to participate in today's High Noon. And let me tell you a story.
Yes.
From Bedford, Ohio.
Okay.
About a young lady at the age of 8 who was reported missing by her parents, along with her parents' 2020 Nissan Rogue. So,
okay.
Of course, all the bad thoughts come for these parents. They report to the police. All of a sudden, that was at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Bedford police say they saw or learned of a report that a small child had been spotted driving a vehicle on a nearby road, but that the vehicle itself could not be located.
Huh?
Yeah, so the Nissan Rogue disappears along with the 8-year-old girl.
Okay.
The SUV eventually found a short time later in the parking lot of a Target store in Bainbridge, which is nearly 13 miles from her home. Police soon found the child by herself in the store. She told officers she had struck a mailbox while driving, but nothing else. Authorities did not say why she had decided to travel to the store, provide further details about her trip. Apparently making a Target run. The girl too young to be charged criminally. It was not clear Monday if any charges would be filed in the matter at all. It remains under investigation. But the bottom line is, she wanted to go to Target, she got in the car, and she drove 13 miles to Target. At 8.
13 miles?
At 8. Seen by other people on the road.
How tall is she?
Maybe she has a phone book. Oh, wait, we don't do those anymore.
No, or like the blocks on the pedals?
Listen, a lot of questions. The investigation is still underway. I'll make sure I update you guys as soon as I find out some information on that.
Michael Jordan finally sold his house in Highland Park. We have been following this forever. This absolute monstrosity of a house that has been on the market and has had the price cut and cut and cut. I think they finally have a buyer. The deal's got to close, though. It's 8.4 acres. It's been on the market for more than a dozen years. The current asking price is $14.855 million. And you think, wow, that's a lot of money. Well, let's tell you a little story here. This was custom built in the early 90s with It was Michael and Juanita Jordan, and it has languished at its current price for more than 9 years. From 2012 until 2013, Jordan sought $29 million for it. So that think about the value of those dollars. That's $29 million asking price 12 years ago. And then he chopped it down to $21 million in 2013. At the end of 2013, they dropped it to $16 million. They tried an auction with a $13 million reserve price that failed.
Wow.
So they did the auction, and they couldn't raise the money that they wanted. And then they found out after no buyer was willing to pay the $13 million. The last price cut was a number chosen, the 14.855. They chose it, the listing agent said, because the digits add up to 23.
Oh, got it.
He did there. So they think that this deal might close. This is built in 95, I should say. The mansion has 15 full bathrooms, 4 half bathrooms, a regulation-sized basketball gymnasium, a circular infinity pool, and a cigar room. The listing agent says it's 56,000 square feet. The Lake County assessor says it's 32,683 square feet. And look, we've all driven by it off of 22. That was that whole stretch in between Waukegan Road and 41 where you'd have, you know, Jordan's house on the left. There were Tony Kukoc's place and Jerry Krause's place in Hibernia back there on the right.
So rich people live near each other is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of land. There's forest preserve out there. There's some protected wetland areas right there. You know, my childhood home is like a half a mile on the other side of Deerfield High School, which is just to the south of where they are. A buyer will pay a property tax of, take a guess, what's the property tax on this per year? What's the 2023 tax bill?
I'm going to guess $100,000.
$137,208 is just the property taxes. Jordan also owns a 5-bedroom, 9,100 square foot mansion in Jupiter, Florida. He owns a 26,000 square foot mansion in Jupiter. And he has 2 top floor penthouses and a condominium building in downtown Charlotte. And he owns a 6-bedroom, 12,000 square foot mansion in Cornelius, North Carolina. I don't even know where that is.
I was going to say, I don't know where
Cornelius is. I have been all over North Carolina. I've never heard of Cornelius, North Carolina. But it's that house, good luck to you. I don't know what you're going to do with it.
Maybe
it,
Justin Steele bought the house.
No, I don't think so. Although, if he did buy on the other side of that street, there is some private bass fishing reserves. That's where Krause used to go.
Well, there you go.
Krause had his own stocked bass lake back there in his little, you know, electric-powered boat. What are you laughing at?
Sounds like Dan Bernstein's dream.
No, he did. No, I wouldn't want my... That's like fishing in a bathtub.
Well, in a
barrel.
There's
no sport in that.
Well, everybody doesn't like sport, Dan.
That's like a trout pond at the RV Expo.
You know how you have yes men? Those are yes fish.
Yes, they are. And that is High Noon. And next up, we are going to talk to Cubs pitcher Justin Steele. And from what I understand, we're going to end up talking a lot more football than we talk baseball. Because who dat say to big damn saint? Who dat?
I don't know if you got that right, but it's
I don't know
close.
If I got it right, but I don't know what they're saying anyway. I think it's who dat say gonna beat them saints. Isn't that right?
I lived in Cincinnati.
Is that close?
Who dat say all gonna right. beat them Bengals? It's all related.
Yeah, but no, it's a Saints thing. The Bengals stole it.
I know they stole it. Appropriation is a thing.
I know. All right, well, we'll talk to Justin Steele next on The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.